Today's episode is brought to you by the Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And I am so excited about their newest exhibition running January 11th through March 16th, Access Mundo. Please join the Barrick on January 11th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the opening reception of Access Mundo Queer Networks in Chicano, L.A. This traveling exhibition explores the intersection among a network of over 50 artists. Access Mundo presents over two decades of work, painting, performance, ephemera, print material, video, music, fashion, and photography in the context of significant artistic and cultural movements, male art and artist correspondences, the rise of Chicanx, LGBTQ, and feminist print material, the format of alternative spaces, fashion culture, punk music and performance, and artistic responses to the AIDS crisis. As a result of thorough curatorial research, Access Mundo marks the first historical consideration and significant showing of many of these pioneering artists' work. As referenced in the title, the exhibition also sheds light onto the work of Mundo Mesa, a central figure within the generation. Primarily a painter, but also known for his performances, design, and installation work, Mesa collaborated with many of his peers towards developing new art practices amid emerging movements of political and social justice activism. If you're in Las Vegas, please head down to the Marjorie Barrick and check out this groundbreaking show. It's amazing. I got to see it in LA at the MoCA, and the fact that it's in Vegas, y'all, don't pass this up. All right. Thanks again to the Marjorie Barrick Museum at UNLV. Let's start the show. Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
a ver, enséñame ese. Como brilla. Madre mía, qué guapo. Diamantes. Ahora sí que como diamantes me gusta.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
How are you, Babelex?
I am very relaxed. I'm cool. I'm good. What's up?
And you're ready to party.
Ready to start the semester. It's been a while, but hey.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
I am just booked and blessed, having a great time.
Amen.
We're recording this ahead of time. We're not going to lie. But this is a very...
We tried.
We tried. Look at us like, oh, let's pretend.
I'm in Hawaii.
You're in Hawaii. I am in Guatemala right now. So I'm in Guatemala right now going back to my roots.
That's beautiful.
I haven't been there in so long, and... initially, my cousin and I, shout out to Gabby, we were just going to go on this trip, you know, to see Guatemala, the whole country.
Yeah.
But now it's become this thing for me where, like, I want to reconnect with my family that I haven't seen in so long. And I just found out I have, like, a 97-year-old great uncle that's still alive.
Beautiful.
That still looks like a German Nazi, which, because that's why he, that's how he ended up in.
Are you taking the recording stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, we just talked about living in the moment, but I feel like there's going to be moments where we'll be like, sacala.
Yeah, but I could just like use my phone. I don't know if I want to take my equipment.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited to see all of them and see where my mom grew up, because bitch, they live like in the jungle. Remember when we did the ABCs of Latinidad?
Right.
And like, for real, my family has M for machete. Like, they need a machete to like get through the brush, you know, kind of shit.
Yes.
I'm so excited about that.
By the way, before what? I forget, shout out to the Cabronas y Chingonas. They did the ABCs of queer Latinidad.
I know. That's so, awesome. So funny. They tried.
Yes, they tried too.
Yeah. I started a movement, yeah, because Grizzly Kiki did the ABCs of drag.
Right.
If you haven't listened to that. And I think they challenged the Shade Parade. I don't know if they came out with their episode yet.
Oh, my God.
It's cool. It started a little wave. Anyway, what was I talking about?
About Guatemala that you wanted to go.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So maybe we should talk about, since you're in Hawaii, uh-huh. I'm in Guatemala. Talk about our favorite Hawaiian and Guatemalan food, since we are Latinos Who Lunch.
Okay, so my... I'm so basic.
Yep.
Okay. I just like anything pork with barbecue.
Yeah.
Bitch. And macaroni salad. I can eat that shit for days.
Yes.
So... There's also this place in Honolulu that I fucking love. It's called Puka Dog. I think I've talked about it in the podcast before.
How many times have you been to Hawaii, girl?
This is my third time.
Bitch, look at you.
You know why? Because
Real Housewife of
because
Pilsen.
Of Pilsen. Because from Vegas, Vegas is considered the 10th island because it's filled of Hawaiians.
It's the 9th island.
The 9th island. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay,
that's all right.
So everywhere you go in Hawaii, they're like, where are you from? From Vegas. They're like, ah, oh, the 9th island.
Yeah.
So there's very cheap flights to Hawaii from here. So we take advantage. I've taken advantage of that throughout the days, throughout the years. Once you're there, it's fucking expensive, but you got a plan and there's a way to do it. Anyway, there's a place called Puka Dog that el ¿cómo se llama? El pan del hot dog?
The bun?
Yes, it's sealed from one side. So es como un churro, entonces lo rellenan con mostaza, con chile, different things, and then they stick the fucking, it's very sexual. Uh-huh. They stick the fucking hot dog and then everything spills out. But bitch, you can add different mermeladas, like the piña, the mango. Mm. Bitch, that shit, mira, te lo tragas y caes en un abismo de pasión. So, I probably, because we are in a very tight budget, we're probably going to do a lot of Puka Dog and a lot of macaroni salad. So
yes, bitch. Beautiful.
And plus, we just want to... anyway, so yes, that's my... When I think of Hawaii, I think of Puka Dog and I think of macaroni salad.
Well, like you said, there's so many Hawaiians here in Las Vegas that we are lucky to have some amazing Hawaiian food. You know, yeah. We got the chains, but there's also like local places. I also want... You know what? Even though they're not our sponsors, but I want to give a shout out to corporations. No, even though they're part of a corporation, I want to give a shout out. I mean, it's all to make money, but a shout out to these two casinos downtown that cater to the Hawaiian community.
Oh my God, yes.
Main Street Station. By the way, their buffet is only like $11 during the week. So, and it's like, it's a buffet. It's fine. It's not the best, but it's like, you get your money's worth.
You took me there a year ago and I've never been there before.
Bitch, I'm there. Years. Every time I'm back in Vegas, I go there. It's
that
like,
food.
Yeah, because they have a Hawaiian section. Oh, like, what so fucking good. What fucking buffet have you been to with a whole Hawaiian section?
En ningún lado.
Okay, so there, Main Street Station, and the California across the street, okay? Mm-hmm. They hire probably the most Filipinos that I've ever seen in my life. It's like Filipinos and Hawaiians working there. I feel at home.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go to the California, hot tip, they have the like the Aloha Bob restaurant. That's mm-hmm. like a nice Hawaiian restaurant.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not as good as if you go upstairs and there's a Hawaiian deli called Aloha Specialties.
I am familiar.
And we've been there before.
Oh my God.
And I always get musubi. Shout out to musubi. And macaroni salad.
Con spam.
That's my favorite.
What is it with Hawaiians and spam?
Army stuff.
Oh,
because you know there's a station there, and so a lot of Hawaiian food is like military food. So if you think of like loco moco, it's like hamburger bun with an egg on top of rice, and then like gravy. So it's like shit that was in cans,
everything that was left over
and available, yeah. Or like spam musubi or macaroni salad. Same idea. Wow. Right? Like they have macaroni and then they had all these other ingredients and they just made it. So that's like a really weird history because of the war. Hey, shout out to war. Okay.
No.
This is bad. I should stop talking. Okay.
Oh my God. So Guatemalan food.
Guatemalan food.
What are you
wait, I wasn't done.
Okay.
So California, this is what really gagged me because I was like, even the decorations in here are Hawaiian, like they're really going for it, right? I will never forget my friend Christy. She comes from a Korean family. I was laughing so hard mm-hmm. when she told me that when her family would travel, her mom would take a rice cooker with her and like take it into the hotel rooms and like make rice just so that there was rice. You know what I mean? You know how Mexicans do the same shit? Like yeah. We bring our hieleras con burritos and sandwiches, you know? So at the California, there is a rice cooker already. In every room.
Yeah.
Right? Like
that's right.
You don't have to bring it. It's already there.
It's gorgeous.
I love that. It's like they know what's up. And I love the fact that if white people stay there, they're like, why the fuck is there a rice cooker in the room? You know, like that casino's not for them. You know?
Like
it's so great.
Guatemalan food. What is it? that you're looking forward the most to eat? Because, I mean, I feel like...
In Guatemala?
At this point, you haven't been there for so long that there's got to be something that, like...
I think the last time I was there, I was like 4. I don't even remember. Well, I do remember some of it. I just want to eat fresh food. Like, there's nothing like... I just fucking love beans and plátanos and...
That's it.
Fuck, that cheese that they have in Guate, like that powdery cheese. And the sour cream. Oh, my God. And the dobladas and the enchiladas and the beans, the greens, tomatoes, potatoes, the hams, the yam.
You had to finish it.
Oh, my God. My mouth is watering. Tamales, obviously. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to eating, like, just fresh stuff because everything just, like, grows there. That's what my mom says anyway. I don't know. And so...
But it's true. Like,
I'm
you
so
eat,
excited.
When you go back home, like, you eat, like, you just feel better when, like, the food that it's available. And, like, when I go back to Mexico, I eat so much shit and I always feel better. I'm so looking forward to you going and coming back and telling us about it because as first and second generation Latinx kids, we tend to imagine our countries a certain way because we've been separated for so long, right?
Yeah.
And we hear stories through our parents and our grandparents and cousins and stuff. And when we don't have the privilege to go back whenever we want to, we have this idea in mind. And then we go there and it's like a whole nother experience. So sometimes it's like the greatest experience. Sometimes it's just like shocking.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear your experiences from after you come back.
Honestly, though, you know, all this stuff that's happened with the caravan and this conflict between Central America and the rest of the world, basically, mm-hmm. and, of course, the United States' role in that, I do recognize my privilege that, like, I'm going there on vacation.
Right.
Fine. I'm not going to go find myself. I'm already here, bitch. But I realize that that's like, I don't know, I kind of feel guilty about it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like... I don't know. I'm really going to go see my family and hopefully educate myself a little more. But it's quite the opposite. Like when I told my family that I was going to Guatemala with my tia, everybody just looked really worried. And they're like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to go there right now? I don't think it's the best time to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what if something happens? And I'm like, well, at least I don't know. I'm very morbid and have a dark... I'm very darks, you know? So I'm like, well, if I die, at least I die in a cool way. That's how I think. That's how I got over my fear of flying.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch, if this plane goes down, I died in the best possible way. You know what I mean?
Like, fast.
Fast. Or at least in, like, in a dramatic, like, way. Because there's people that, like, trip on a curb and die. Like, what if that was me?
Yeah.
That's tragic. You know what I mean?
But that's also fast. I mean, I don't know. I've seen some family members linger for months before they died. That's shitty. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
let's talk about
all of that to say that my family's worried. And like now that they actually found out that we're going. And mm-hmm. so now my tío's gonna go, and like another one of my a couple is going. So now all these adults like latched onto our trip because they're like, how are you gonna get money out? How are you gonna rent a car? How are you gonna? And I'm like,
Google it.
You know, we're adults, like we can do it. Yeah. Like my uncle's like, well, you're gonna have to wire money to this account and this. I'm like, I've traveled all over.
There's ATMs.
I can just get money at the. And he's like, to them, it's still the 1980s.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have these preconceived ideas of our place of origin, and then we go back to it, and a lot of those fantasies get destroyed for good or for bad.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. I want to mention something, because we didn't talk about the caravan at all.
We didn't. You know what? Let's get into it.
And it's very interesting. I'm in defense about a lot of things. Yes, it's tragic. It's horrible. It's horrible how... As a society, in order for us to feel better, we have to explore certain ideas. So the image of the kids being gas-tiered over and over again, circulating, made me sick. I didn't want to see them again. I know the problem. If you reacted like, oh my God, like Mexicans are so racist. If you didn't fucking know that and if you're Mexican, like you need to fucking reconsider shit because Mexicans, just like a lot of other parts of Latin America, were a product of the colonial period. And race is embedded in our fucking system and it's fucked up. What bothers me is that a lot of these pages, a lot of these accounts focus on how racist Mexicans were. And in a way that... is what the fucking empire wants. They want us to fight against each other instead of focusing on the big picture. The big picture, yes, we have to recognize that, that as Mexicans, we have a lot of fucking shitty colonial problems. There's nothing new about it. What bugs me is that we just talked about that. Not about it, like the bigger, bigger picture. And that's, again, I mentioned this before. We worried about the little things. We worry about that. We end up fighting against each other instead of uniting each other. And the big people out there in the fucking White House are still doing their shit. Mm-hmm. So this is going to happen again. This sort of moments and this sort of tragedies are going to continue to happen again. But when they happen, please stop for a moment and think about what you're going to say online. Because what the last thing we want is to not be united with each other. We need to be united. We need to form a front, but at the same time, not forget the big picture. Because all I heard was like, Mexicans are horrible. Mexicans are racist. Yes, we fucking know that. But that's erasing a lot of the bigger problems that were happening. And I wanted to say that.
Yeah, but also a lot of Mexicans don't know that.
Well, it's time to fucking wake up, man.
And I was saying on the last episode, like, this Christmas, I was really pushing this just an awareness of how racist we are in our family, mm-hmm. I want my family to recognize our privilege as white Mexicans.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were taking our family photo on the stairs, I was like, "Everybody say white supremacy! Yay! Look at all these beautiful white Mexicans!" And everybody laughed, but then I could see in their eye, like,
"Whoa!"
I actually saw one of my cousins like look around and be like, "See it in their eyes, like, oh my God, we are all white." You know what I mean? That I think is when true change happens, when there's like a self-awareness, mm-hmm. and when I saw my cousin's like eyes click, like, oh shit.
Yes.
He probably thought he was a fucking Aztec warrior this whole time. He's the same cousin that emailed me and he's like, "Hey bro, can you send me some Aztec designs?"
It was Mayan designs.
Mayan or Aztec designs, because I'm gonna get a band on my thigh or some bullshit. And I'm like, "Oh, what tribe? What?" I was like, what part of Mexico are we from? And he told me, I'm like, "I'm pretty sure the Aztecs weren't in that part of Mexico, bro. Maybe you should do research on from what indios we came from." You know what I mean?
Your indigenous background.
Yeah, what is our indigenous background? And he's like, "Oh, I'll get back to you on that." I'm like, "Yeah, you probably should, buddy. Like, that's I'm pretty funny. Sure there was no Mayas in fucking Durango, okay?" I'm like eating queso menonita ahí con los pinches, playing fucking banda with their tubas. Oh my God. Anyway, I really agree with everything that you said. But it's also showing me, it's really revealing how racist we are as Latinos. And yes, an agent of white supremacy is us fighting within ourselves and putting each other down. But just recognizing our proximity to whiteness,
yes,
I think is really important, or to privilege as Americans living in the United States, because even my grandmother, Guatemalan, who is like Maya, we were watching Primer Impacto or whatever at her house, and she kind of like rolled her eyes, and I was like, "What do you think about this?" And she's like, "Well, they should just, you know, we came here legally, they can do the same thing." Like, it's
why
like this weird
hiring? Yeah.
And then I had to explain to her, like, "Yo, like, this could have been us. We were just lucky enough that we came to this country when the United States was a little bit nicer to us,
right,
because they felt bad for what they did to our countries."
Right.
And that's why we were able to come in the 80s as easy as we did. Like, this isn't about like who these people are.
Right.
This is about timing,
you know what I mean?
It's sad to say, but that's it. And I could see my grandma like wanting to fight back with me, but it's like, but she's like, "You're right, I'm sorry," you know. And so, and she's what, over 85 years old, and she could understand that concept,
right?
You know what I mean?
Because this problems I've been around for fucking ever.
But if everybody, this is the thing that's so dangerous, is like, especially I know here in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. like when you go to the casinos, todos los que trabajan ahí, they're all Mexican or they're all brown. They're mm-hmm. Latino. Most of them are Latino or Asian. Mm-hmm. And they sit down in the cafeteria and the people that are the most ignorant are usually the loudest. And people just start agreeing with them because they just hear their bullshit over and over again.
Right.
I have to sit down with my mom a lot and be like, mom, just because your friends think that at work doesn't mean that
you have to think like that.
You don't have to think right. like that. And yeah. also that they actually probably don't think that either. They just, yeah. it's like high school. Like people mm-hmm. pretend that we're all adults and we all have our own agency and all this bullshit. Like
high school is just a practice.
It's practice. It's yeah. the real world. And that's exactly how it is when it comes to politics and when it comes to, you know, just like owning your own voice and having your own right. ideas. You'd rather just go to work, do your job and yeah. leave. And that's what my mom does. That's what a lot of people do. It's just recognizing our privilege. And I mean, that's what this is how this started. Like me going to Guatemala and like living my white woman fantasy. Like, oh my God, look at all the colors. Oh, these guats are so amazing. Like, I definitely don't want to have that perspective, you know?
I feel like what's happening in certain countries of Latin America and for a lot of Latinx people in Mexico is what happened to a lot of people here, like when Obama was elected. They saw themselves in the mirror and they're like, fuck, we're white, or we're white passing, or we're like enacting all this privilege. Like things are changing, you know? And life is changing. And we talked about this. That's one of the like early topics of Latinos Who Lunch, about how people are finally confronting their whiteness. But it really has been happening in this country for several years. And I feel like it's just starting in Latin America. And I am not going to tell you anything about Roma or like no details, because you want to watch it. We should do a whole episode about
okay,
it.
Okay, let's do thinking. It. But I just want to wait and watch it in the big screen. So to all our listeners, go do it. And maybe like in a month or so.
Yeah.
We'll put out a Roma episode.
Because I feel like it's going to be like a Coco type of episode. There's a lot of things to talk about.
Okay.
There. But I've been getting videos about the directors, Guillermo del Toro and Alfonso Cuarón, these wide-ass privileged fucking directors, how they are starting the dialogue about race in Mexico. And it just infuriates me. And infuriates me that why does it have to be with them when there's people fighting in the front line since the fucking 1500s, right? Because of this fucking privileges. There's so many groups that are pushing for the recognitions of Afro-Mexicans, for example. But yet we're giving credit to these motherfuckers. Again, I'm not going to tell you anything about the movie. We'll get into it. But again, when you see these videos, when you get this content in social media, always ask yourself, you know, like always ask more questions. Don't take it as face value, because there's so much behind it. I saw Alfonso Cuarón talking about race and privilege. I fucking saw that for a minute and I closed it. I'm like, I don't need to learn about race through this fucking white man. Like, I cannot fucking do it. But anyway, yes, it's happening to a lot of Latinos and it's happening to a lot of Mexicans, and I'm glad it's happening. It's just that I don't know, güey, a veces no tengo nada de paciencia, but I gotta breathe.
Okay, well, okay. let's take a little break right now. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start our listener letters episode. Yes. So like I mentioned before, we've had so many listener letters and we haven't had the opportunity to answer them. So this year we're going to actually try to include more listener letters in the regular Guara Guara La Cuchara episodes. Mm-hmm. But for the next couple episodes, we want to get through a big chunk of them, because
yeah.
some of these letters we're going to read are like a year old. They've just been sitting in our inbox.
Yeah.
If we didn't read your letter, it's because your question was very similar to
other
one
questions
that we've already answered on this episode. And I actually don't mind rehashing
topics yeah.
or reading the same question, but just not within the same episode, because right. I understand that not everybody has the time to listen to every episode. So mm-hmm. before I was very like, yeah, just go back to episode two. And like, nobody's going to do that, bitch. Right?
Right.
Just like, I know you're living in the moment. Like,
right, right.
Like we are this year. That was a lie. Okay. Anyway, let's take a little break and we'll be back with listener letters. Oh, my chori queso.
Qué pedo.
Bitch.
Mi mishtli.
Don't try to make that happen.
It's happening all my family.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See, this is a reverse colonization. So what are we talking about? We're doing an ad. Okay.
Yes.
Lindo Michoacán, chori queso, bitch. Have you had the chori queso there?
Girl, have I had the chori queso. You know what I do?
You're so stupid.
No, seriously, you know what I did last time?
Tell me, what did you do?
Le puse un poquito en la tortilla, puse el chorizo con el queso uh-huh. fundido. Y guardé poquitos fideos, and I sprinkled it on my
enough.
Tortilla.
That is enough.
Girl, that was amazing.
Bitch, you're making you're hacking Lindo Michoacán hacks. We're talking about the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert in. Let me tell you, you know, around the holiday times, I go there a lot. And shout out to everybody at Lindo, because I know they're hella busy right now.
Always.
So my favorite thing to do now is, see, I don't like to be that bitch that like orders things extra.
Yeah.
But I actually sat down with the owner the other day, and he ordered this, the original owner. Mm-hmm. And he gets his chilaquiles verdes, one egg, but then he makes sure that he orders the chilaquiles extra crispy.
Of course. Binge,
that is my new fave.
Oh.
The green chilaquiles extra crispy. Shout out to Javier.
Yeah. Extra crispy and organic margaritas.
Ooh.
And that's it. That's all you need.
Yes.
And as part of our partnership with Latinos Who Lunch, our listeners are getting how much discount?
25% off. So go to Lindo Michoacán, the original, on East Desert Inn, and say that you are a Latinos Who Lunch listener, and they will give you 25% off. Lindo Michoacán.
Save water.
Drink margaritas. And we're back. Hi.
I can't believe we're here. We always do that. We're like, and next episode is going to be the listener letter. And a year later.
We literally have done that for a year. People are like, these motherfuckers are liars. And you're right. We are. Okay. Do you want to read the first one?
I'll go for it.
Okay, dale.
This is a letter from Chris. Chris says, as an artist who travels a lot for projects and speaking gigs, I appreciated your travel tips and would love to hear more. Do you ever get sick of eating out? I never thought I'd say that, and I know how privileged it sounds, but I do. How do you stay sane, healthy, and centered with all the travel you do? From what I can tell from your Insta stories, you're never home.
It's true. I'm never home, and I have some travel tips for you. And I bet you do too. You've been traveling a lot, Babelito.
Yes, yes.
A number one, like I mentioned before, TSA pre-check. It's $85, okay?
That's it?
For 5 years, okay? I'd never thought just like not having to take my shoes off would make me so happy. But it does.
Yes.
It does. You don't have to take your belt off. You don't, just TSA in general, the illusion that is TSA. I'm so sorry for the listeners that work at TSA, yeah. But it's bullshit.
It's part of the myth.
It's fine. It makes some people feel safer.
Great.
I know better. But I'm just so happy I don't have to take my shoes off anymore.
Right, right.
Even if it takes the same amount of time, the fact that I don't have to do that is wonderful.
But it's not only about you taking off the shoes off. It's about the people who forget to take the shoes off and the belts that are in front and behind you.
Usually people that are TSA pre-check know what's up. They're frequent flyers.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Boom, boom,
wepa,
boom.
Wepa. Also, I'll give some tips for the plane, because I'm on planes a lot, and I never thought I would be desensitized to flying, but now I'm one of those people that I'm not even aware if the plane is in the air or not. I'm just like in my own zone, and I think it's because I just like kind of get into it. For all you bigger people that fly, being fat and flying sucks, so make sure that you pay extra to get on an aisle seat or a window seat. Also, don't be afraid to ask for the seatbelt extender before you sit down, because if you ask for it after, the flight attendants do a big show and it's so fucking embarrassing. Okay, these are my tips for you hoes in planes. Please remember that an airplane is a shared space. It's not your airplane, okay?
It's not your bedroom.
It's not your fucking bedroom. Bitch, one time, let me tell you.
Damn it, wait.
There was a bitch clipping her toenails on the plane. And I said, ma'am, excuse me. This is my new thing. Shout out to my friend Christy, who's a flight attendant. I said, this is a shared space. This is not a bathroom.
You did that.
Yes. I was like, please go to the bathroom and do that. That's disgusting. And everybody was like,
yes! Like,
it was so disgusting. I'm sorry, women who have long hair and men who have long, it doesn't matter, people who have long hair. Don't brush your hair on the fucking plane. I don't want your fucking hair follicles in my fucking food or in my space. Go to the bathroom and brush your hair, okay, Marsha? Like, with 100 strokes. Don't do it, okay?
Becky.
Also, oh my God. This is just me venting.
Yes, go for it.
As a fat person, I walk around the world aware of space, because the world wasn't made for us, okay? and planes were not made for us. And so I'm very aware of space. And even if I get stuck for some reason because I'm on a budget and I couldn't find an aisle seat, mm-hmm. I'm aware that I'm in the middle seat. And I cross my arms and I sit there and I try to hold still as much as possible.
Right.
If you are, I've never had this problem with women, but if you are a cisgender male who likes to spread your legs out like your balls are the size of fucking Texas, please, please be mindful that you're in a shared space, okay? To me, there's nothing worse than when I'm trying to be polite and respectful of other people's spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's two hoes next to me thinking that they're on the fucking... I don't understand what's going... They have their legs open literally into my space, like touching my knees. And I actually have long legs, even though it doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. So my knees are usually touching the back of the seat. I'm mm-hmm. already uncomfortable. And then they like spread out so their elbows are on the armrest and like jabbing into my sides, you know? Like, please be mindful of your space.
Yeah, like, it's enough to get the middle fucking seat and then...
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. Like, it just bothered me. And it really does feel like a violation of space.
Yeah.
When you are aware of space like I am. And so... I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. And I lean into it. I lean onto the person that's doing that because they're not even aware that they're doing it.
No.
Because nobody's ever checked them. So.
You look so fucking pissed.
I am
I
so
love it.
Angry. So the first thing I will do, if you ever sit next to me on a plane, I will look at you and then I'll like look at your elbow and look at your leg. And usually that works. They'll snap out of it. But if not, I don't give a fuck anymore. I like put my knee like right up to I do the same thing that they're doing
that
to me.
Do. Yeah.
And if they say anything to me, I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was just mimicking your behavior." You know, like, I don't care anymore, bitch.
Damn.
We're adults.
That's beautiful.
We're adults. Your ass is sitting at the window. You have a whole side of the plane you can lean on and you're leaning on me? Excuse me? So so that's just plane etiquette. Also, y'all, we're all going to the same fucking place. The people that get up as soon as the seatbelt light gets up and rushes to the front, bitch, you are so dumb. We're all going to the same place. Please stop. Okay, but here's a tip. You can stand up. Yes.
No, that's what I do.
Stand up and stretch your legs. I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm saying the people that I don't know if it's a cultural thing. The people that are in the back of the plane and stand up and rush to the front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, girl, we all have connecting flights too. You're not the only one.
Right.
And if it's that tight, you know, flight attendants will help you.
Yeah.
They will say, we'll rush you to the front before, if it's really that important. So just communicate that with flight attendants. Also, please respect flight attendants. Their job fucking sucks, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh, they have so many perks. They can fly around the world for free. Wada wada la cuchara. Yeah, but they have to be in a fucking petri dish of filth with you fucking assholes every fucking day. And then you wonder why they're not nice to you and they don't smile. Bitch, you're coughing. And oh my God, the people that cough out in the fucking open. See, this is just opening up too much.
And the thing about flight attendants is that they're there to facilitate a better experience. They're not there to fucking serve you. And that's what bugs me. Also happens with waiters and waitresses in the service industry. People are there to facilitate a better experience from you. That doesn't mean that they're your fucking maid. And people treat different people like that, and it fucking bothers me. I see it every fucking day. So be mindful of that, because if you didn't work in a restaurant, hopefully you will never, or your kids will never, but it fucking sucks and it's a lot of work. So you don't want to, you don't want that to happen to you or to your family.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait. I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
So is there like a, do you read books or like, albums you download?
Oh, good,
podcasts?
good. Okay, so yes. Oh my gosh, I am there. There's a couple apps. If you don't have iPhone, I have an iPhone. That's also a privilege that I'm aware of now, because we were giving shade to one of my tias that, like, we made a shared album for Christmas or for whatever, and they're like, just put it in the shared album. My aunt has this like Android bootleg phone, and I'm like, oh, she can't see any of the pictures. Anyway. there's several apps that you can download that you can link with your library card.
Uh-huh.
And now I have the Libby app, and there's another one called, I don't know what it's called, but you can get it for like a Kindle or for a Google phone or whatever. Yeah. And you can check out books from the library. So that has been my jush, bitch. I have read maybe 3 books in the last month just because they're on my phone. And it's easy to access. And you can check out audiobooks with those apps.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I read Roxane Gay's Hunger, and I also listened to it. She reads it herself.
Sweet.
It's so good. And I just downloaded Not That Bad, and so I'm really excited to read that one. So that, also, if you have a podcast app, you know, download a couple podcasts, and I usually download one album or one playlist.
That's what I do, and that's my biggest tip, because I forgot to do that for a long time. I have one album that I listen to in all of my planes, and then I download other albums, but like, don't do it when you're in the airport, because it's not going to give you enough time and you're going to download 2 or 3 songs. As soon as you wake up or the day before when you're like when you are checking and everything, make sure to do all your downloads. So by the time you're there in the airport, everything is ready to go and you don't have to wait, because we tend to remember after we cross security, because I think that's the worst part of travel. Not the worst part, but it's one of the worst parts of just like, once you cross that threshold, that's it. You can relax a little bit more. So we're so worried about that we don't remember to download that. So a day before when you're packing, make your downloads be part of your packing routine. And by the time you're in the plane, you're going to be so thankful that you have all this shit to cancel everybody's noises and everybody's fucking voices, and you just be in your zone. Because once you get in your zone, traveling goes fast.
Yeah, so just prepare ahead of time. I travel so much that I don't unpack, basically. Mm-hmm. I have all my toiletries and everything always ready to go, so I don't forget anything.
Yeah.
So I have 2 sets of stuff, like my travel and my regular shit. And I just don't even fuck. It literally goes on a shelf in my bathroom.
Same here.
And I put it back on. Quick tips, when you're getting on the plane and you're sitting in the back, usually the carry-on stuff is full. If these hoes are already sitting in first class and there's room in first class, put your shit up there. or in business select or whatever airline. Just put your shit up there, because you can grab it on the way out, and then you don't have to like make a whole scene getting your shit out. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
And they're already sitting. Their luggage is already there. You can do it. Some airlines will be sticklers and be like, you can't put it in first class. But most of them understand, because the airplane is full. If you're flying an economy airline and you need to check in ahead of time, put an alarm on your phone 24 hours before
to
check
in.
That's helped me a lot. And I was in Dallas at the club, and I got a ding on my phone. I'm like dancing with Eva.
As you were twerking.
Like Rafa was like, you know, Rafa's a rapper, and he's like he's like a hype man for this DJ collective. And he's like, Fabi is in the building. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to check into my flight. I'm like, on my fucking phone.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
And then, let's see. That's it. That's pretty much it for airport tips. Okay, I have so much, because I have really, I feel like I have mastered traveling now.
Mm-hmm.
Just general things that people, I guess, wouldn't think of. Like, I wear the same shit all the time, so it's easier. But I actually think that's a good tip. Is like, if you're going to travel for an extended period of time where you're going to have to do laundry, just bring all the same color clothes. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's super easy, because I just have darks, right? So I literally just throw everything, even my underwear, everything is black, and I just throw it in, and there you go. You don't have to worry about
shit down.
Yes, bitch, because I used to, you know, I have this Whitney Houston shirt that I love. But I never wear it, because it's white. And so I can't really take it on trips, because it's like I have to do a whole load for this Whitney Houston shirt, you know? So anyway, I got to get a black one. So,
and if you go to Europe, travel with canned chiles and vinagre.
Oh, my God. Guess the way. You know, y Valentina. And
bitch, when I did my internship there, I took with me 6 cans of chiles and vinagre. And
no,
every day after work, I will go pick up my slice of margarita pizza from the same pizzeria, and I will get to my house and watch Italian MTV with my fucking chiles, and I will be so fucking happy. That made the difference dealing with those fucking
Europeans.
Right.
You're right, because the whole time I was in London, I was like, fuck, if I had ranch dressing right now.
Exactly.
There was no ranch dressing over there. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Una botellita,
and in Berlin, forget it.
Y como dice mi mamá, una botellita y párale de contar.
Okay, so that's a tip for your clothes. I said last time on an episode, throw a couple dryer sheets in your luggage. It keeps everything soft and smelling good.
Tree.
Tree. Okay. I have a new ritual now. If I'm going to be in a hotel room for more than 3 days,
yeah,
I make the space my own. Because it just like...
Cuelgas tu ropa.
I take every... No, sometimes. Yeah, I take anything that's like a jacket or like a nice shirt, I will take it out, or pants. But then I arrange the room how I want. And I know it makes the maids angry, but I put it back at the end. So like I'll fix the feng shui of the room however I want it. Obviously I'm not moving the beds around or anything, but like if there's furniture in the room, I will move things around just so it flows better.
Yeah.
And then what I will do, I actually learned this from Perez from Radio Menea. Mm-hmm. I make almost like a little altar. So it's like I have a picture of my family, and then I have like kind of a couple of things that are mine.
Yeah.
I have Palo Santo, and I like Palo Santo the room. Just so like my room always smells like shit, but it's like Palo Santo and incense, you know?
Yeah.
And it just like, it just totally changes the mindset, and it makes it seem like you have a home base.
Especially if you're working.
No? Yeah. Even if you are in a foreign city, whatever, yeah. it makes me feel like I have a home base, even though it's not like a hotel room, you know?
No, it's important because you gotta, like, at the end of the day, you gotta unwind, and there's nothing like unwinding at home. So that makes total sense. Yeah.
So I do that, and then, just buy snacks. It's always good to have snacks. And and one of the questions that our friend Chris here said is like, do you ever get tired of eating the same food? Yeah, but I also get tired of overpaying for like bullshit food. So I always get like apples, peanut butter, crackers, like all that shit that's not going to go bad. And
it's better than a $6 fucking cheeseburger.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I do get sick of eating out. So it's sometimes nice just to be able to go back to the hotel and just chill and just like make, I mean, you can only buy certain things while you're there, like hummus and chips and all that stuff, but, you know, get some nuts. like Babelito said, he has his chiles and vinagre.
They make the whole difference because like you feel like home, like just like making the hotel room your thing, just going home and opening your can of chiles. It's like, you can finally relax.
I know.
Well, there you have it, Chris. Oh. Thank you for your question. And you should read the next one.
Yeah, so many tips. Okay, next one is from Naomi. What do you think about when a child is denied a part of their culture and is not accepted by another? So this is a quick note. Her father is Mexican and her mom is Central American. And so I really understand this because my family's Guatemalan and Mexican. So a lot of times I've heard like they don't grow up with the culture because a lot of times families like to assimilate. Mm-hmm. And so they just don't teach them anything about their culture.
Right.
Thankfully, my family has always been very proud to be from the country where we're from. And they always, you know, celebrate the traditions and the food. So I'm like on both sides of it. I think it sucks when kids aren't tied to their culture.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, I also understand why parents, especially old school parents, you know, from like the 70s, 80s, didn't teach their kids Spanish or didn't teach them the traditions because they wanted their kids to assimilate and not to have such a tough childhood. Because even now, if you're, depending on what part of the world, part of the United States you live in, if you're too different or if you don't fit into the mold of what type of Latino you're supposed to be in whatever region you are, it's harder and you get bullied.
Yeah.
Right?
And it also, we need to keep in mind, and it's hard, but we need to keep in mind that this sort of things that happen in the family unit are dependent on what happened on a bigger macrocosm. So like our understanding, like unfortunately our understanding of Latinidad, at least in the West Coast, for example, is dominated by this idea of Mexicanidad, which is not it. There's just so many different cultures, and people, media, tend to box us in these categories because they're easier to digest for white people. All of the fucking, and I've said this before and I'm going to say a million times, all of the problems in the world are based on our ways to appease white anxieties. So we need to keep that in mind. And I understand, I grew up in Juarez, my sister grew up in Juarez, and my little sister grew up here. She grew up in the States. So, for example, her... her, we listen to rock because that's, and the border, that's what we grew up with. So we're all like rock kids. And my sister's like, fuck that. She identified a lot more with oldies. She identified more with rap music, with hip hop. And that's shit that it took me a while to understand. And it still is kind of like she always has to defend herself because in a way, her culture and her identity, it's completely different from my sister, my parents, and myself. And it sucks because I think she had more problems finding that identity about who she is than we did. Because we're like, we're fucking Mexicans, we're from Juarez, and that's it. And she was from El Paso, she's from Juarez, she's from Las Vegas, like just so many other things. So I do think it sucks, and I hope that... And things change with the second and third generation, but I hope that that we start embracing the different aspects of all Latinidad because we're all so fucking different. So I am also, as you say, on both sides of the spectrum because I struggle to try to speak only in Spanish to my nephews, but some of them don't understand, and it's going to be till they take classes in high school, till they come back to that. And once they understand more Spanish, they're going to get closer to their Latinidad. So it depends on every single family. So yeah, I think it's case to case, but I urge people not to shame on others just because our ideas based on popular media are this or that, you know, we're all fucking different.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've ever been denied access to like a certain culture because of who you are? Like because you're too Mexa or you're too whatever?
I don't think I've had that problem. I think the first time I confronted a little bit of that is was going to Central Mexico, where mm-hmm. for the first time I was like, oh shit, I'm Norteño. And I didn't even think about it. And I wasn't...
Sorry.
Right. So I wasn't really bullied for it or made fun of.
Also, I'm also Northern Mexican, so yes. I'm allowed to do that. Just so everybody knows.
So I don't think I've ever been made fun of, but uh-huh. I'm finally being aware of. So it wasn't... And I actually... I don't know when this is coming out, and I'll let you guys know, but I was asked to be part of a Latinx journal for UCLA. Oh, and cool. this journal asked me to write an essay about what is it to be a Mexican teaching Mexican art history? Because most art historians in the United States teaching Mexican art history, they're white. So I'm an anomaly in the discipline. And that's one of the things that I mentioned, that me practicing as a Mexican in the States, it's his own thing. I get tokenized in art departments, also in my classrooms. But when I go to Mexico, too, I'm the Chicano. I'm the Norteño who's teaching Central Mexico art history. So I've experienced a little bit of that, but never to the point where I feel ashamed of who I am. But that doesn't mean that others go through that experience. I've been lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the positive of being proud, like being from a family that's proud of where they come from.
Right.
Is that you? Whenever people make fun of you for it, you're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember one of my tios when he's relatively close in age to me, so I still remember when he was in high school,
mm-hmm.
and there was a switch that happened from him being ashamed of his Mexicanidad to him like being a representative and being proud of it.
Right.
Because he like gone to Mexico like as a young adult. Or not as an adolescent, I should say. And he had a blast. And he met other people his age that were from L.A., not from Vegas.
Right.
And his primos from L.A. were like hella Chicano and like really proud. And he came back like, oh, I should be proud to be that too. And he came back and like ever since, like he started listening to banda at school. Like he found his people.
It's important.
And it's important. So yeah, I think this is what this listener, Naomi, was talking about. It's like, yeah, it can be a struggle if you don't have that confidence in your identity.
Right. Sometimes you have to fight for it. I was accused by a family member, I'm not going to say who, of being the whitest in my family.
Yes!
Yeah.
Name them! No, yeah. I'm just kidding. But who was it?
But it wasn't because of skin tone. It's because of
attitude.
I was with a white dude for a long time. I listened to a lot of indie rock. And
you
I'm
watched
just like,
all of Sex and the City? Ooh.
Several times, bitch. Oh, okay.
I know. And remember Friends. When you used to fall asleep to Friends?
I still do.
Bitch, that fucks with your psyche. You better not do this shit anymore.
And also...
I rebuke the demons that are Rachel, Ross, Monica, Phoebe, and Chandler.
We all go
and Joey. How you doing, Joey? Have you seen him recently?
No, I haven't.
Daddy.
But anyway, so I remember thinking, fuck, I've spent half of my life studying Mexican culture and art and life, and I'm the fucking whitest in this fucking table. That didn't make sense. I mean, now I ignore it completely, you know?
It makes sense to me, though. Like, you're an academic. Like, you're part of that white system, even though you're trying to dismantle it.
Right, right, right.
I mean, that makes sense.
I know where they're coming from, so I didn't pay attention to it, but it's like, our ideas and our perceptions of what's supposed to be Mexicanidad and Latinidad not only change within our community, they change within our fucking family unit. So you have to, like, be aware of that and sometimes ignore it. And as you say, be proud of who you are, regardless if you fucking watch Friends or not.
But what if you don't know who you are and you don't know your culture?
See, like, I've seen a lot of kids that travel to Puebla, for example, trying to find that part of themselves. So if you have the privilege, and the freedom to be able to do that, to go back to your country, fucking do it. And don't go for a fucking week to Cancun, bitch. Like, spend a month in your town of origin. Like, that's so important. That's so, so important. And there's a lot of things that you can do to reconnect with your family, you know, to reconnect with your roots. There's fucking books. There's literature. There's music. WhatsApp. There's WhatsApp. And there's the ABCs of Latinidad from Latinos Who Lunch, who will get you closer to that goal.
Also, just to put it out into the universe, we are working on a special project with that episode of the ABCs of Latinidad.
I'm so happy.
There may or may not be some merch coming out later this summer. I'm so excited. Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow. We are probably only going to get to like three letters because this has been such a fun episode to talk about. You know, I'm just going to put this out too. I think like for our Guara Guara episodes, I'm feeling this, like, because we have so many letters.
Yeah.
That we're going to have, like, every other episode in the future.
Maybe, like, two, no,
a
month.
Yeah, we should do at least a couple a month for, like, the next few months. A couple listener letters just to, because I really love what our listeners are bringing to us. And,
yes.
And again, if you have questions that haven't been answered on Latinos Who Lunch, please email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com. Okay.
And if we don't read it, doesn't mean we don't see them. We see every single
one. I read all of them, bitch.
Of them.
And I put them in a folder. And there's this thing that we're trying, which is like having healthy boundaries. And that includes you, the listeners. Like before, I used to, Babelito used to email everybody back. I used to message everybody back on Instagram who messaged us. But yo, we can't. I would be on the internet all day if we did it now. And that's amazing. Like, we are so happy that...
And thankful,
so many people are listening. But we have to, like, we have to live our lives too. But just know that we do read them all. Yeah. And sometimes we will email you back if it's, like, not a question for the air. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
And we sometimes respond indirectly. Like, we haven't responded directly for all people that wanted us to see Made in Mexico, for example.
Oh, right.
But we did a whole episode of it because we got so many messages.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I mean, we always keep you guys... en nuestra mente. Ay, güey. Okay, next letter. This is a letter from Carlos, Jason, Eric, and Anthony. Nuestras queridas Fabi Fab y Babelito. You guys, along with Grizzly Kiki and The Tony Soto Show, recently inspired us to start our own podcast, Sip Your Tea, Shelby, as a way to share our thoughts on episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race and more. You guys are literally iconic. Wow. Okay. I'll take it. The chemistry you guys have, Babelita's contagious laugh, and the nuggets of knowledge bombs you feed the children is what keeps us coming back for more. Nos llenan de orgullo. Side note, here is our tagline idea for you guys. Quote, aquí para entretener, enseñar, y darle de comer a los chamacos escuincles. End of quote. Con respeto y mucho amor, sip your tea, Shelby, Carlos, Jason, Eric, and Anthony. Damn!
Thank you. I can't wait to listen to their podcast. I'm already listening to like four recap shows. This will be like my fifth one.
I haven't even seen...
You haven't even seen the fourth. Are you gay? You haven't been
watching it? I'm going to be 100% honest.
Okay.
Okay.
Let us have it, bitch.
You know how much I love this show. I've watched this show since episode one. Love it, love it. It changed my way of seeing things. It changed my way, the way I perceive gender relations in this country. It really did. Because as we were starting those discussions in grad school, RuPaul was on TV. So to me, change a lot of things. It's just there's too many fucking seasons, and
it's a lot.
It's starting to get a little bit repetitive. Even though they're pushing a lot of boundaries, still, it's starting to get a little bit repetitive. So I'm not even ready for a new season, and there's already like 3-4 episodes out. I'm gonna see them, but it's just like I remember when a new season came out, it was a fucking event. It was in grad school. We will get together, make food, and come together, and now it's just it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. And it's my hipster fucked up mind, but when something gets so mainstream like that, I tend to push it away. I'm not going to do it with RuPaul, but it's taking me a little bit of work coming back to it.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. The show is very problematic and Wara Wara La Cuchara, but just All Stars 4, I started watching it, and the first episode, I was really sad because my fave went home. Jush, yeah. Team Jush, hashtag Jush. And
spoiler alert.
Bitch, it's already, the season's almost done. What do you mean, spoiler alert?
I still haven't seen, I don't know anything.
Oh, girl, put your life together. So, I won't say any more about the season. I was sad, though. I said, I think this is it. Especially after seeing the Hollis Slay, they did like a special episode. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so, it was really bad. But now, like after the third episode, I'm
it's
like,
getting good again.
I'm like in it. It has reignited my love for Valentina, which I didn't think could happen.
Right.
So I'm super excited about that and just to see a lot of the older queens. But the thing that really put a smile on my face and like it just gave me such a good feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, Gia Gunn is on this season.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not the most likable character, I'll say that.
I love her.
I'm just wait till you watch this bitch. And you know how RuPaul goes, gentlemen, start your engines yes. and let the best woman win. Because Gia Gunn is on the season and is out as a woman,
trans, yeah.
She said, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Yes.
And that to me was progress.
It's progress. Especially,
for RuPaul's old ass
for RuPaul, yes.
to say that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
And so, you know, Peppermint was an out trans person.
Yeah.
And it was part of her storyline, but I guess RuPaul didn't really acknowledge it the way that he's acknowledging Gia. So I'm happy that the show is growing. And I don't want to, I'm not going to ruin too much if you guys haven't seen it yet, but there's an episode of season 4 of All Stars where Gia actually, her facade cracks and she gets emotional and
yes.
she talks about her struggle with drag because she doesn't want to do drag anymore. She's a woman.
She's a woman.
It's so complicated to be a woman and a drag queen that before drag for her was a way for her to reveal who she really was. And now that she is living her she's living her best life every day. Like drag is triggering.
Mm-hmm.
It makes her feel like she's playing dress up when this is really her. So I like that they brought that up, and it's like very, you know, this identity is so complicated.
Yeah. But that's exactly what drag has been doing for fucking centuries, right? It's making us rethink how we define gender in our communities. And that's, I'm down for that. I want to see that and re-see that because for a long time, it felt like we got stuck and drag became entertainment, mainstream entertainment, and that was it. I wasn't learning anything new. And every time you go see a drag show, there's something you're going to learn, even from like a crazy move or a crazy drop or something. That's part of the work. That's part of the beauty of being drag. So that's why I'm a little bit resistant because I felt like they brought so much to the table. They concealed drag queens into this fully flesh, highly produced entertainment box, and that was it. When you know, we all know that drag queens for centuries have been pushing the boundaries to the limit. It felt like RuPaul wasn't doing that. So hearing what you just said to me, that's fucking beautiful because that's part of the beauty of the show that I felt what got lost seasons and seasons ago.
Yeah, and I also love how aware of the people are of their participation in the show and how they reference, and they're all trying to get a meme moment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this season of All Stars is like, it's heightened. And there was fights and conversations already that have happened
mm-hmm.
where people are like, you're just trying to get more TV time. And the editors are leaving it in the show.
That's good.
Which is, to me, is very interesting because usually they cut that out.
So, it's undeniable.
But it's like, it's undeniable. They have to address it.
Yeah.
Because people can see the editing. I really love, you know, maybe this can, we're running out of time, so maybe this can pour into a little bit of a recommendation now. Mm-hmm. I really love these recap shows because you get some true tea from, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So Willem and Alaska, two white men that I'm giving a shout out to, but they give a lot of behind the scenes, I mean, because they have access.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever they do the lip sync for their lives, whenever they do the runways, they don't film that just one time. They do it multiple times, at least two times.
Damn.
So they can edit the lip sync to whatever they want.
Shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They can edit the runways to whatever they want. For example, on the first episode, I don't think this is a spoiler because it's the first episode, Pheromone, she falls. The second time she didn't fall. So they could have edited it so she didn't fall. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that just doesn't make good TV. So I like that they're acknowledging that. Yeah. And that's really cool. But anyways, Stir does the rundown of RuPaul's Drag Race. If you want to hear their take on it, it's two Latinx dudes. Then, of course, our new friends here at Sip Your Tea, Shelby, they do it. Grizzly Kiki does a recap show. Also, my absolute fucking fave, Nicole Byer and her friend, I forgot his name already, but he's an Asian dude who's hot. They do a podcast called What the Tuck, where they review the shows. And they have a lot of inside information, too, because they're actually friends with all the drag queens.
That's awesome.
Those are the ones that I listen to, like, religiously every week, which is insane. How much... that's 6 hours of content that I listen to for one fucking show.
But that's what the producers of the show should do, what you're doing. Because if they listen to what other people think about what's happening, if they listen to the needs of the show that they cannot see it because they made their own bubble, maybe the show would progress into something different and unique. Because if drag queen, as RuPaul has mentioned, is about pushing the boundaries, they're not. So maybe they should be listening to this fucking podcast so the show keep progressing and moving along with the new generations that are coming into drag, you know?
I'm looking forward to more openly trans women on the show.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say openly trans. I should just say I'm looking forward to having women on the show.
Right.
Because I think that it's really fucked up for a cisgender gay man, okay? Mm-hmm. To make the rules on what masculinity and femininity are.
And femininity is absolutely...
That's fucked up.
Fucking say it. Yes,
and,
yes.
And RuPaul, when he wants to, will bring out the race card. He said it many times. You don't... I come from the same place you do. No, you don't. You don't.
Yeah.
Like, you are surrounded by rich white people all the time now.
Rich white people.
That clouds who you think you are. The people you surround yourself with really have a big... influence on your life.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully RuPaul is, I mean, he's working a lot, so he must be tired. So he's relying on a lot of other people to produce the show, mm-hmm. which I think is a positive thing because, you know, everybody says we're too sensitive. You know, us millennials or whatever, we're always calling people out, call out culture. But I sometimes think it's a positive thing, you know, because imagine... I don't know. Imagine a few years ago, Gia Gunn wouldn't have been allowed on the show.
Or made fun of.
Yeah, on Drag Race.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think it's really important that the show keeps evolving, and hopefully it does.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, though. I can't believe it was like back to back to back.
It's too much.
Like, we had like three seasons of Drag Race this year, if you think about it.
I just remember the season will come out. It was like fucking Christmas. I will wait. I will be on fucking social media.
I know,
speculating who's coming. I don't fucking care anymore.
I know. And now, like, Reddit ruins everything. Like, I know who's going to be on the next season already.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, on season 11. And I'm excited. The return of Miss Vanjie, bitch.
No!
Yes, girl.
I'm down there. Okay.
I'm so excited. Do you have any other recommendations?
No, I think I'm going to save my recommendations for the end of this episode. So this is part one.
Yes.
And then stay tuned for next week. So we're going to continue to read more letters. So it's like a long listen and letters episode.
Yes. So hopefully we get past more than three letters next time. But we had to catch up. We haven't seen each other in so
long.
Right,
right, right.
And you know what? Carlos, Jason, and Eric, Anthony, you're right. Our chemistry is so good in person. it's a lot easier to do it in person than doing it over the phone.
It is, absolutely.
So I think we're taking advantage of that and, yeah. and
stretching it. Don't.
Ooh, girl, why do you always set them up for me? And then you shake your head when I'm about to do a stupid joke.
No.
Don't
okay.
do that. Don't do that to me.
Anyway,
okay.
So we'll stop right there.
Okay. Let's stop stretching it out. Somebody needs a break. Okay. Your honeymoon is lit. Okay. Oh my God. We're not supposed to say lit anymore. That's what I learned in Dallas.
Why?
Yeah. Because white people are saying it now. So it's canceled. 2019, stop saying
it. Do it like me. Lit.
Lit. People were saying litty, but that's like, ooh.
No.
Ooh, that's too much. Okay.
Es lit.
Completamente lit. Okay. All right. You want to say anything else?
That's it.
Great.
I'm ready for the next part.
And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com and we might read them on a future episode. If you have time, please leave us a review, 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have,
the more visible we are, and visibility leads to representation, and people, representation matters.
All right. Today's episode was produced by me, Justin Favela, and Emmanuel Ortega. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Favi Fav.
I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, 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 cabrones. Please.
Stop. Saying that.